Good morning. For the second time, today is Sunday, November 10th, 2013, and this is Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And I am re-recording the show that we did earlier this morning, so I hope it will come out okay. We've been talking about how to regain our leadership and establish a future based on distributed generation. And today the focus, the piece of that we're focusing on today is understanding how we are the state. And we'll begin to think through this issue of institutions because what we hear from the progressive punditry is that we need new institutions in order to move forward to a future that's free. And we're going to be challenging that notion. During the July 21st show, we said that our training in ever-strivingness. Before we start, I just want to orient you guys a little bit because it's in a different location than you normally listen to it. I'm not at the studio. I'm in the bedroom vehicle. So the random noises in the background will be different from the random noises that you usually hear, but I hope not too distracting, and I hope the levels are more or less listenable, that it'll come out okay. During the July 21st show, we said that our training in ever-strivingness, internalized discipline, our training in being productive, serves a definite political function, to use Popper's words as he described the function of higher education. Quote, "We know from Plato's sociological theories that the state, once established, will continue to be stable as long as there is no split in the unity of the master class. The bringing up of that class is, therefore, the great preserving function of the sovereign, and a function which must continue as long as the state exists. How far does it justify the demand that a philosopher must rule? The great importance which Plato attaches to a philosophical education of the rulers must be explained by reasons purely political. The main reason I can see is the need for increasing to the utmost the authority of the rulers. Thus, Plato's philosophical education has a definite political function. It puts a mark on the rulers, and it establishes a barrier between the rulers and the ruled. This has remained a major function of higher education down to our own time. Platonic wisdom is acquired largely for the sake of establishing a permanent class rule. It can be described as political medicine, giving mystic powers to its possessors, the medicine men," unquote. That's Karl Popper, The Open Society and Its Enemies, Volume 1. But while Popper's analysis shows us how the regime of class has led to the deterioration of the moral compass, he showed us that Plato's moral code is strictly totalitarian. And using an economic lens, Polanyi says the same thing. Quote, "To allow the market mechanism to be sole director of the fate of human beings and the earth would result in the demolition of society," unquote. That's page 73 of The Great Transformation. He's describing there a utilitarian ethics. Popper is using the political lens, the lens of herding us by controlling what we think. The criterion of morality is the interest of the state, purely. The companion loss to the deterioration of the moral compass, as Fromm has pointed out, has been the loss of our unique earth gifts. Because ever-strivingness forestalls the development of thought, it doesn't allow time, and by this I mean unbidden time, disobligated time, meaning time which is consciously wrested from the wholly illegitimate obligations imposed by power, and not by our own earth-given analysis. Ever-strivingness doesn't allow time to think. And so progressively, under power's regime, the regime of scarcity, thought atrophies. As we leave to our betters, quote-unquote, the minuscule few, the pleasure of thinking and of leading, making of leadership itself a scarce commodity, delivering us helpless into the hands of power, forcing us to pretend that thought is the equivalent of internalized discipline, being efficient, following orders with expedition. We will be building the argument here that when Plato cautions power that there must be no split in the unity of the master class, operationally, this means there must be no split in the unity of the master's thought as concretized, manifested, embodied in us.